Church, that brings us to where we are tonight as we continue in our first objective. We must be governed by the truth that God is holy. We must be governed by the truth that God is holy. The subtitle for tonight's message is The Holiness of God. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. That word holy has a number of different meanings that all come together to describe the holiness of God. To be holy is to be the opposite of what is common or profane. To be holy is to be the opposite of what is common or profane. That word holy suggests uniqueness. Uniqueness. Holy also means set apartness. Set apartness, to be set apart from all else. When we talk about holiness or the holiness of God, we mean that he is separated from evil. Separated from evil. It means to be free from defilement. To be free from defilement. It is to be sinless and upright. Sinless and upright. To be holy is to be completely just and good. Completely just and good. It means to be perfect, beyond reproach, and pure. That's what holiness is. To be holy is the opposite of being common or profane. It is to be unique. It is set apartness, separated from evil, free from defilement, sinless and upright. It means to be completely just and good. It is to be perfect, beyond reproach, and pure. Church, God is holy. There is none like him. He is absolutely unique. He is completely set apart from evil, sin, and defilement. There's none like God. Absolutely unique. Completely set apart from evil, sin, and defilement. That means there is no sin in him. There is no sin in God. There is no defect in him. There is no wrong in him. He is absolutely pure. He is perfect. He is right and he is good. Not some of the time, but all the time. Church, that means he is never wrong. He is always right. He is always good. He is holy. And he is holy all the time and in every way. God is holy in everything. Everything about God is holy. His name is holy. His works are holy. His promises are holy. His power is holy. His judgments are holy. He is a holy God. And when we can understand that, when we can begin to meditate on that, get that down on the inside of our heart, it will have a powerful effect on our lives. Church, let's get right to our points for this evening. When we understand that God is holy, that means it will cause us to accept three things. When we understand that God is holy, we will accept God's point number one command. We will accept God's command. See, when I understand that God is holy, I will take his command seriously. When I understand that he is holy, his command to me, his order, his instruction to me will have great weight and importance. What command are you talking about, Pastor? The command to be holy. That's what God commands his people to do. From the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, God has always commanded that his very own people, those who are called by his name, he commands that they be holy. Church, just because we are saved by grace does not mean we are free to sin. Because God is holy. So God does not give Christians freedom to sin. He gives us freedom from sin. Because he's holy. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We looked at this scripture a few weeks ago, but we're going to look at it again. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 14. The Apostle Peter was writing this epistle, or he wrote this epistle to a suffering church. And in verse 13, he exhorts the church to get rid of their loose and sloppy thinking. He exhorts them to be calm and disciplined in the face of suffering, and to place their hope in the grace that is available to them through Jesus Christ. Let's pick up in verse 14. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. So what he's saying here is you are to live as children who are obedient to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you when you did not know the gospel. That's what he's saying. He says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. But as the one who called you is holy, you are to be holy in all of your conduct and your manner of living. Let's continue. Verse 16. He says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter is saying here that holiness is what God commands. He's saying if you call upon him as your father, if you call him your father and you call yourself his child, and you know that he judges everyone impartially, in other words, he judges everyone by the same standard, then you should pass your time here in reverence, in fear, because you were saved from a useless way of living and you were purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Church, holiness is not a good idea. It's what God expects of us. He expects us as his children to strive to reflect his character. And it's what God expects of every Christian. See, he doesn't have relaxed standards for certain Christians. He doesn't have a standard based on what your past was, what you're going through. He has one standard. See, God is not somewhere saying, well, because you've been struggling with addiction for so long, just do the best you can. He's not saying that. He's not somewhere saying, well, since you've been in this ungodly sexual relationship for so long and you have children together and your life is all complicated, just do the best you can. Live the best you can before him. He's not saying, well, you've been like this your whole life. And you're doing all right. Just do the best you can. He's not saying, well, you're a product of the system or you're a product of a broken home and nobody taught you any better, so I understand. That's not what God is saying. See, he's not saying any of that. That's that other God talking, the God of my own understanding. But the God who saved us is saying and says, be holy. It is a right now command without condition. Church, it is a right now command without condition. But you don't know what I have to deal with, Pastor. You don't know what I have to go through. Be holy. It applies to every believer. Why? Because he is holy. Will I be absolutely perfect like him? No. But I can strive to live a holy life through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, God saved me and put his Spirit in me that he might cause me to keep his judgments. We learned that in our last series. We learned that that word cause means to make, to urge, to drive, or to move. To cause, to make, to urge, to drive, or to move. See, God saved me, put his Spirit in me, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of me is working. He is working out righteousness in me. The Holy Spirit is there constantly urging me, driving me, moving me, pushing me, making me do right. The Holy Spirit is on the inside compelling me to perform the will of God. And if I yield to his influence in my life, I can be what I ought to be. But if I fail to yield, I'm still without excuse. Because I'm able to be holy, as God commanded, for he is holy. When we understand that God is holy, we will accept God's command. When we understand that God is holy, we will accept God's point number two, call. We will accept his command and we will accept his call. See, when I understand that God is holy, I will take his command seriously. And when I understand that God is holy, I will respond to his call promptly. I will respond to his call promptly, that is, readily and without delay. We learn on Sunday that Jesus is calling us, that we have a call, and our call is to make disciples of all men, to convince people to renounce the world and sin and become followers of Jesus Christ. Church, God wants us to be holy, but he also wants us to draw others into a life of holiness through faith in Jesus Christ. That is our call. But it's an urgent call. It is an urgent call. Why is it an urgent call? Because the Bible says that God has no pleasure in wickedness. That's Psalm 5, verse 4. Very simple statement, but very powerful, very profound. God has no pleasure in wickedness. No pleasure at all. He does not delight in wickedness. He does not like it in any way. No pleasure in wickedness. And you might say, well, Pastor, but you always say that God loves the lost. And you are always quoting.